We're finally going to end this series, probably, maybe, that's the plan, that I started really about 6 months ago. Now, since then, I've taught other subjects. I've jumped in and out just sort of as the Lord leads. And we've had a lot of spontaneous messages. We've had a lot of guest speakers. On average, we have a guest speaker about once a month here, and either another pastor or one of you guys. And so that's on overcoming and occupying. I even wrote 4 articles on it. It's on my website, 4 blogs. If you're on the church email list, you got a notification. But you can always go to craigbcooper.com, craigbravocooper.com, B as in Bravo. And there's over 425 articles out there. There's, of course, I'm biased, but there's a lot of stuff out there. It's all categorized in about 13 categories. And so you can go out there and real recently is 4 parts on some of the summaries of what we've been talking about. Because I am convinced that right now the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing on us to accomplish some of the dreams and the visions and the prophetic words and the intuitions and the things He's put on in our heart. It's been a lot of warfare the last several years, all through the COVID years, and been a lot of warfare. And there's still warfare, but it seems like things are a little bit easier and His wind is blowing on it a little bit more and the anointing is there to accomplish some things. What are you talking about, Craig? What is in your heart? Let me do it this way. What is the top, you don't have to shout it out, but what's the top problem, the top one or two problems that come to your mind? Those are the things that right now, if you're not sure what He wants you to work on, that's what He wants you to work on. Just go to Him. It may be a relationship, maybe a marriage, maybe a kid, maybe your finances, maybe something at work, maybe a new business. It could be anything, as many, probably as different as in this room. And go, Holy Spirit, I need you to blow on this. I need your wisdom. We talked about the first 2 or 3 weeks, since I'm an engineer by training, is He always speaks to me in formulas that remember the formula, the promise equals plan plus prophetic. That's wisdom plus His voice. You can go back. All of our stuff is on YouTube. It's on podcasts. You can go to relationshipchurch.com and go to resources and see and review some of these things. But the Holy Spirit is really given wisdom and He's speaking to us and are moving. Let me read to you Matthew 11. Verse 11 through 15. I may not make it all the way through 11 or verse 15. But Matthew 11:11 says this. I tell you the truth. And this is Jesus Christ speaking. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, which is actually a very accurate translation. It's sort of the one I've been reading lately. I tell you the truth. Of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Okay. So as of that point, when He was saying, none is greater than John the Baptist. At a different time, He said John the Baptist was the greatest of all the prophets. Now think about this. He did no miracles that we know of, like Elijah did 7. Elisha, if I remember correctly, did 14 major miracles. We could go on and on. As far as we know, He had no visions that are written down. No dreams He interpreted like Joseph. But He's being called the greatest of John the Baptist. That shows us some people move in signs and wonders and some doesn't. What makes you great? Stepping out and obeying what the Lord asks you to do. That took a lot of guts to step out and go, this man over here, which he could be accused of nepotism, was his cousin, is the Messiah. They'd been looking for the Messiah for 2,000 years. But He stepped out, paid the price, did the cost. His cost is going to be different than yours. His price is going to be different than yours. But all of us have, when the voice of the Holy Spirit speaks to you, there's a cost. Us being Spirit-filled, charismatic, we love the signs and wonders. And we go after the signs and wonders. But everything to be used greatly by Him has a cost. In the end, it cost Him His life. He was so bold. How would you like to prophesy? We want to prophesy. He was a prophet, but there is a difference. But he prophets. He speaks as a prophet over the king, and it costs him his head. That kind of thing makes you great in the sight of the Lord, where you're willing to lose everything to see His kingdom move forward. And so he says, none is greater than John the Baptist, but hold on, the story's not over. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. See, the kingdom, which everybody's talking about now, from denominational to non-denominational, everybody's talking about the kingdom. The kingdom hadn't started yet. It was the time of the Israelites and that nation. But when Jesus Christ was crucified and He rose again from the dead victoriously, His kingdom started 2,000 years ago. It's very, very common in America with the common eschatology of the left behind and the late great planet Earth, the futuristic eschatology. I'm not getting into all of that, but most people that do that believe the kingdom hasn't started yet. It starts when He comes back in the second coming. But that doesn't line up with the Bible. The kingdom started the first time He came. And when He comes back the second time, He's just going to raise it to a whole nother level. And so, what is this? Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than He is. And He already declared He's greater than Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Isaiah. I can't get my mind around that. I just don't think I'm greater than John the Baptist. So Jesus must be a liar. But I know He's not a liar, but I still can't get my mind around it. He believes in us even more. Now, why would He say that? Because we have something John the Baptist didn't have. Most theologians do not believe. He could have been. I'm not trying to make a point. But when you become a Christian now, every Christian, Ephesians 1 says, you receive the Holy Spirit as a seal of the inheritance to come. So every one of you have more of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be a theologian here, but every one of you have the Holy Spirit. Most theologians don't think John the Baptist. He obviously had the Holy Spirit around him, the Trinity around him, but it's debatable whether He is actually inside of him. So we actually have the God, third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, living inside of us. That's how we are potentially greater than Him. If we count the cost and do what He says. Now, that's right there. We could stop right there, but I'm not going to. Probably should. But meditate that on that all this week. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven, which actually hadn't started yet then. It was not long after that. And then it goes on. We'll end after this. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until then, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And violent people are attacking it. So we are in we've been this way for 2,000 years, but we're definitely an increase right now. He is saying to you, He is saying to me, right now there is a grace to actively and even aggressively pursue what God has promised us. To start believing, to start having faith for, to start saying, now's the time. Now, so how do I do this? In this stream that we're in, we get words, like the word of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14 says, I pray that you all desire the gifts, especially prophecy. So that means we can give them and receive them. We often get dreams, visions from the Lord of stuff He wants to do. But most of the time, and that's all legit, I believe in all of that. Most of the time, He gives you a desire or an intuition to change your world around you in some way. And that's usually God. And there's four ways to the dreams, the words, the intuition. There's four ways, four P words. You know me and my alliterations. Four ways. And I can't help it. That's just the way that I think. I heard a preacher that tells people, or a consultant that tells people how to preach. And he says, don't do alliterations anymore. Nobody likes them. I'm like, that's the only way I think. So if you don't like them, just pray for grace. Pray I'll change if he wants me to. But there are usually four ways that we respond to words. Some of this is basic for you, and this may be basic, and it may just be a review. But let's walk through it. The first word is providence. First way of responding. Providence is where when God gives you a word and He says He's sovereignly going to do it, all you need to do is agree with it. Now, many Christians get hung up here. I would say, this is just Craig's experience, I can't prove it from the Bible, but this is a minority of the time. Maybe 10, max 20% of the time. One of the examples is in Luke 1, verse 26 and on. I'm not going to read it. When Mary, she's out minding her own business. She's going to Walmart, getting stocked up on stuff. And a whole horde of angels show up. Y'all know the story. And go, you're about to give birth to the Messiah. And she's never been with a man, not married. How many of you women would agree with that word? The man didn't. He was slow. Joseph didn't agree with it. He had to have his own encounter with God before he agreed. So that was a sovereign move of God, because she cannot have that baby on her own. She's not even going to get pregnant on her own. But she had to agree with it. So everything the Lord shows you, you have to agree with it. Don't say this flippantly. Well, if it's God's will, it'll happen. Most Christians don't ever get to where they need to go, because most of them, you at least have to the minimum of agreement. Father, I would love to do that. I have no idea to do that. That sounds like a sovereign move of you, and that's fine. Show me what I need to do, if anything. And so there is a providence, but we need to believe that He can do it. Sometimes this is hard. I was out, we were coming back from Kennesaw today. I don't remember where we were. We were somewhere in this area before we hit 75. And I saw, and we see it a lot, it was an old charger that somebody had out in his front yard. It was rusted. I couldn't see inside, but it couldn't have been in good shape. Who knows if it ever ran? You've seen those kind of things. You might be there. I don't know this for sure, but most of the time it's the guy that buys those things and parks them in the car, in the yard. Okay? And I'm sure if that's the case, the wife, when she looks at it, she sees an old, rusted out car and going, oh my gosh, how did this thing end up in my yard? But the guy, when he walks out, he sees nice wheels on it, sees new rims, new tires. He sees it painted. He hears the engine purring. It's a four-barrel carburetor. For those of you that are under 30, you don't even know what that is. But you can't beat the sound. It's so much better than fuel injected. And that's what he sees, the interior's done, and he sees himself driving in that. What's the difference between him and the woman? He has faith, because he can see beyond the natural. And he's calling those things that are not as though they are. And so if the Lord comes to you with this awesome word, now he's not going to come anymore, so if any of you women get this word that I'm going to birth the Messiah, we're going to walk through that with love and kindness. But maybe you get something big like that as a guy or a woman. Faith is saying, okay, my life right now looks like a rusted out 67 Dodge Charger. But I believe that the Lord can paint that thing. And you show me what I need to do. And that's faith. And so there is the providence, the second word. And this is where most Christians, I think, never inherit the promises. Most promises, most dreams, most intuitions, most things that he wants us to do, we die and they never come about. And many times, it's usually somewhere around 50, maybe older, maybe younger, but usually 50, usually definitely by 60. When they haven't happened, I've seen many people get mad at God, offended at God, or even they just give up because it hasn't happened yet. But this is what I want to get across in this four P's that we're going through. Many of these words, many of these promises, some of them are providential, but we still have to agree, is to realize they die because we have to partner. That's one of the words, and we're going to come back to that. We have to partner with Him. But many times, a second word or a third word is passivity. Passivity is where we receive a word. We may even write it down in the notes app on our phone. Or we might even do a voice memo of it on our phone. And then we do absolutely nothing with it. Every once in a while we'll go back. I wonder what's happening with that word. Passivity is where we do nothing. Sometimes we aren't supposed to do anything except agreement, but it's a small minority. That's the providence. And then what happens after a while, these words, we forget about them. If you write stuff down in your journal or you put it in your voice memos, go back and regularly read them. About 2 weeks ago, that weekend, I said, I'm not going to listen to any sermons. I'm not going to listen to any Fox News, not listen to any CNN, not going to listen to anything, not watch any videos. And I've now got all my words, you know, on my phone or computer or iPad. They're all synced up. And I've got them tagged in such a way I can just type in a word and all of them come up. And I spent several hours just reading these things so that I don't forget about them and go, Lord, is there anything I need to partner with? And that's the third word. We've already mentioned it. Is there anything that I need to do here that I'm not doing? In Genesis 6, verse 13 through 16, four verses. It's talking about Noah. Let me read it real fast. Then God said to Noah, I have decided to make an end to all the people on the earth. You probably read this many times. They are the cause of very much trouble. See, I will destroy them as I destroy the earth. Verse 14. Make a large boat of gopher wood for yourself. You know, he's building an ark. So actually, 14, 15, and 16 is the extent of how to make this ark. Three verses. Make a large boat of gopher wood for yourself. Build rooms in the boat and cover it inside and out with tar. This is how you are to make it. The boat is to be as long as 150 long steps, as wide as 25 long steps, and eight times taller than a man. Make a window for the boat that goes down a cubit from the roof. Put a door in the side of the boat and make it with first, second, and third floors. He's got this huge assignment. There's some details, but you can't make a boat just out of this. What is it supposed to look like? Supposed to have a come to the front? Is it supposed to be, like a bow in the front? Sharp? Is it supposed to be squared off? Et cetera, et cetera. How many rooms? What about bathrooms? What about feedings? How are we going to feed all these animals? He gets three verses. How many of you have had the Lord give you broad strokes on the direction that you're supposed to go? And it scares you to death because there's a lot of gaps. Anybody had that experience? That is how it is walking with the Lord. He wants, as Israel said earlier, He wants you to take a risk, step out, doing the broad strokes, and then He'll help you fill in the details as you go along in partnership, sometimes. So this is where it gets a little iffy here. And this is where the tension is. He doesn't always give you the details. He'll leave them up to you. When you got a kid that's 4 years old, you give them a lot of details. Don't do this, don't do that. Don't go play in the street, don't whatever. Stab yourself with a knife, don't even get the knife. Right? When they're 24, you go, I've taught you enough. Just here's the direction. and I trust you. Now, there's a tension here. So I talked about providence, talked about, which is a minor cases, then you just need agreement there. And I've talked about passivity. We don't do anything. And I talked about partnership. Now, there's a fourth characteristic that we don't want to do, and that's presumption. So this is where it's a little hard to explain, and I'm just going to explain my own personal walk and hope it works with you. Presumption is, okay, I need to go in this direction, and from here on out, I'm just going to do everything and not listen for, and look for a check on the peace of God. Is God speaking to me? Because many times He'll just turn you loose. But I still need to be in a place where I don't presume, Holy Spirit, speak to me if I'm going in the wrong direction. I'm open to hearing your voice. I want the whole blueprint if you'll give it to me, but He usually doesn't give it. So let me give you an example from many years ago when I started this church. I came here from Augusta, Georgia. The Lord sent me here and says, I want you to come here, start this church. I didn't know anybody except two brothers and my mom. They were already here. I didn't know anybody in any churches. Of course, I'd been an assistant pastor for 8 years. And he says, I want you to go and start a church. And the only thing, and I said, okay, at that time, he said, don't start as a small group and build up into a building. There were some reasons for that. I'm not going to go into that. So there was a specific direction. Go start a church, rent a place. And so we didn't have a whole lot of money. It's just me and Susan. But we had some. And so I started looking for buildings. I couldn't find a building. He didn't tell me to rent this place. It just came up. It seemed like it would work, and it has. Been here ever since. And so while I'm walking through renting it, because he told me to start a church, I'm like, Lord, is there a specific place? Does you want me? And he didn't say anything. So I'm not presuming because I'm constantly in his presence looking for an answer. If presuming is where you forget about him and just go and do it. I'm not even going to ask. And so we rent it, and at that time it was cheap. It was $650 a month, and the price has gone up. And I was like, Lord, should we rent here? Well, I knew Susan was working at that time. I was working at that time. We didn't have any kids, although she was pregnant. Well, no, she wasn't yet with Abigail, our first. And so I was like, Lord, and I didn't get anything. He said, okay, He's going to bless whatever I put my hand to because I'm partnering with Him. Well, our tithe together at that time was $700 a month. So me, the man of faith, power, of the hour, believing God, I was like, okay, if nobody comes, because I didn't know anybody. He told me not to ask anybody. Just open it up. And if nothing happens, we can at least make the rent, turn the utilities off, and we can get through the first year of the lease. That was reasonable, but that's a partnership there. And that's where I had the presumption. And so it worked out. It worked out great. It's been great. We've never missed a payment. And so that's what God is calling us into. And as we step out on these words, you go, okay, Father, I'm going to step out and do what you're asking. If I'm not supposed to do something, you stop me or give me a check in my spirit. You see what I'm saying? And it's like Apostle John, not John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming across the water and they're out there in the boat in the middle of the lake, Jesus said, come. That's the broad stroke. He didn't tell them how to get out of the boat. He didn't tell them how to walk across the water. I would have needed a lab to walk on the water first. You know, you ain't going to try this thing out first. And the storm's going crazy. It's going, no, he just said, come. Figure it out, buddy. Get out of the boat and walk across. That's how our Christian life is. And you know, afterwards, John was loving it. And all the other 11 disciples were hating his guts. I don't really know, but if it was me, I would have. Every campfire where they're sitting around, because they didn't have iPhones just to scroll through. They had just to talk. And He's going. He's telling that story. Yeah, he got out of the boat and walked across. And all the other 11 people are just hating him because they didn't get out of the boat. But it probably provoked them to do other stuff. And in the end, John did a cool thing, but who really did the coolest thing? He just got out and started, and Jesus reached out and grabbed him when he started sinking. It's the same way with you. Walk, move out, whatever you've got on your heart, say, Lord, I'm going to move out in this way in partnership with you. If this is not your timing, if this is not right, then give me a check in my spirit or even close down the circumstances. And so since we're talking about the building, you know, financially it doesn't make sense to stay in a rented place for this many years. We've had opportunities and the finances to move out, start buying our own thing. That's common wisdom. It's good wisdom, you know. Own, not rent. I can't tell you how many times I've searched the city, looked for places to rent. Y'all have done the same thing. And started to move out to rent. And he would speak to me, even though he didn't speak to me on this building. And as soon as I'd start moving out, I would go, there would be such a check that if I knew I did that, I'd be out of the will of God. So why does he want us here even though he didn't even specifically tell me to come here? I still don't really know to this day. But I'm going to follow that check of the Spirit. It's probably a couple years ago I was like, Lord, look how much money we're paying on this lease every month. And we're paying it. I mean, it's fine. It's not a strain. Y'all, big givers here. How much money we could be spending it on something else, saving, doing what else. And I was doing the... Wisdom is good, but it does need to be partnered with the Spirit. And so I was doing the wise thing. I wasn't complaining. I was like, you know, we could use this money somewhere. I'm telling you, it wasn't an audible voice, but it sounded like an audible voice. And I knew it was God because I would have never thought of it. I was like, look at this money we're spending on it. Out of nowhere, he goes, whose money is it? That's all he said. And I'm like, I will never bring this up again. If you want us to move, you're going to have to be really obvious because I've done everything I'm supposed to have. Angels show up, hallelujahs. It doesn't have to be like that. He can follow us by our spirit. So those are just examples that the Lord can stop you, move forward, look for peace. And because this is a time, I'm telling you, where he is really wanting to bring his kingdom. Because see, he's not on earth in the body like we have now. He is on earth. He's omnipresent, so just don't get weird. But his big body is us, and he's working through us to advance his kingdom forcefully. So in summary, three actions. Say yes. Follow his still small voice, and follow his peace. And move forward to occupy and overcome and leave fruit on the earth. And we all have got different assignments. And your assignments will change. Sometimes your assignments are for a week, maybe one meeting in New York City like he had twice with two men, 45 minutes at a time. Or it could be a lifelong assignment. Or it could be a decade assignment. You don't know. But do that, and it's a big deal. Several years ago, the Lord's given me many prophetic words and promises over what we would do together. Most of them haven't come to pass. And that's okay. Most of them are providential, to be honest with you. And I was like, Lord, at this rate, they're never going to happen before I die. The Lord doesn't have mercy on my thinking most of the time. I don't know if this is the way it is with you. And I'm talking almost out of nowhere because it was a thought that I would have never thought of. Many of you have ever had that. If it's not against the Bible and it's a thought that comes out of nowhere, it's probably God. So I was like, Lord, this is probably never going to happen in my life. And he just out of nowhere says, why do you think most of these are going to happen in your lifetime? He says, I need you to lay a foundation for some of the people after you. And they will not be able to accomplish what they're going to do if you don't do what you're going to do. Again, he changed my perspective, put me in place. But that was actually comforting because at this rate, I don't know if they're going to happen. But that's okay. I'm going to stand before him and my foundation is I did the best I knew how, at least up to this point, and still got a long ways to live, whatever you want me to do. Amen?